And welcome back to the Mark Moses Show. And joining me right now to talk a little college football, this guy does a great job with the sporting news. His name is Bill Bender. Bill, how you doing today?
Hey, Mark. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I told you this in a text message. When I was on Radio Row, I met Barry Sanders, and the first thing I told him was I voted him third overall in the sporting news voting poll for best college football players. So I want you to know that.
You know, similar story when I was down at the championship game. I met Herschel Walker, who was our number one choice, and his wife mentioned it to me. And I was like, yeah, that was us. We got it right? So, the thing, and I'm sure you experienced this with Barry, that I experienced with Herschel is, Herschel looks like he could still go out there and rush for about 800 to 1,000 yards in the NFL. He looks really good for his age, and it made me feel very bad about how I look at my age.
I understand. Why did you put Herschel Walker at number one, though?
Well, I didn't do it. I had 53 people like you vote on this thing, and it's a democracy. I'm not a dictatorship at Sporting News. I think 34 people out of 53, 31 out of 53 voted Herschel number one. You know, Barry Sanders had some first-place votes. Tim Tebow had some first-place votes. It was really probably the coolest thing we did this last year because of the voices that we got in it and how the list turned out. And it was a lot of fun to do that. But and I'm glad I'm jealous that you got to meet Barry Sanders. He is obviously – what was he on the list? He ended up finished third, I think.
Oh, yeah. And what's funny is he's maybe – 5'9". He's not even that big. That's what scares me about him, because no one could stop him in his prime.
Good running backs, you know, they're hard to hit. He was one that's like that, and they come in all shapes and sizes. I know, you know, O.J. Simpson was a little bit taller. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Herschel, like I said, he just looked so wide. I was picturing trying to tackle him on a football field and being like, well, what body part do I try to cling on to here? You know, and then Bo Jackson, same way, you know, where he was just so big and thick that you just kind of prayed and hold on for dear life and hope he goes down. So, again, just a cool exercise we did. Running backs have changed. It's amazing that Barry Sanders, though, how well, maybe more so than Bo and Herschel, and you've probably attest to this, his highlight tape holds up better than any athlete I've ever seen.
That's interesting how you put it that way with the highlight reel. Like, does Tim Tebow's highlight reel still hold up today? Ooh.
The two that hold up the most, though, like his and then at the high school level, because I saw him play in high school,
mm-hmm.
Jadeveon Clowney's high school highlight reel is terrifying.
Oh yeah.
It's better than his hit on the Michigan kid in the bowl game. Like, there's about 10 to 12 clips in his high school highlight reel that are better clips than when he took Vincent Smith's helmet off in the Outback Bowl.
It's a good one. How about LaDainian Tomlinson and Marshall Faulk? You need to go search their high school video as well. They're both scary.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, it's that point in the season, though, where, as you mentioned, we got an article here at SN about next season. You reflect on last season, then you already start to look at the schedule and start to circle the dates, and in the spirit of Valentine's Day, as I said, if you're going to plan a wedding,
mm-hmm.
plan it for November 14th. Maybe not down there in Florida. Florida and Tennessee, or Florida plays a big game that weekend. I think they play, I can't remember who.
I got to look it up.
Georgia, Tennessee's that weekend. Then there isn't much else after that. So if you're going to get married on November 14th. It's exactly 9 months from Valentine's Day, an opportunity to really pop the question there for those brave souls out there this week.
Wait, November 14th, so what is there, like 2 weeks to go left in the regular season, and then there's what, everyone's on their bye? What is it?
That weekend in the schedule's loaded. You've got everything from Kentucky, Florida, Clemson, Louisville, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Virginia Tech. I think Texas and LSU have their rematch that weekend. If you're trying to get married that weekend, or one of your buddies is, your husband's groomsmen, bridesmaids even, it doesn't matter. They're going to be huddled around those TVs on that weekend. It's a big college football weekend.
All right, Mr. Bill Bender with the Sporting News. When did you get married? Hopefully not in the fall, right?
Well, you don't think? My wife's a journalist, too, and we played it. So I always tell this story. We got married in April on the weekend between the Masters and the NFL draft because we knew the distraction level that those things cost. And so we had, you know, my groomsmen were all cool with that. And we had one guy come into our wedding, and he's like, well, the Cavs are playing the Pistons today. And I was like, if you need to go watch game two of the first round of the seven-month NBA playoffs, that's on you. I'm getting married today, and I'm good. And but we did. We got married one exit down from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so our guests could go see that at their leisure while they were up there in the Akron-Canton area.
Ooh, that is nice. You know what's funny? You really took us there where one of the guys is like, hey, the Cavs are on for the playoffs. I can see it.
Oh, yeah, and I just said, well, I mean, if you need to go to a bar and watch it, that's fine. But, I mean, that was like the funny thing about that, Mark, it was like the big time. It was like the Cavs that you could have checked the score and been all right. That was like the LeBron heyday Cavs where they were going to win that game by 20 anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, then now we know. What's your best game then for Labor Day weekend, which I wished was going on right now?
Not great. It's not a great schedule. I mean, I guess you could say Alabama-USC from the fallout either way because we're going to have a new Alabama quarterback and we're either going to anoint him or say Alabama's going to struggle this year. And then on the other side, Clay Helton in USC, I mean, he's been on the hot seat.
I think Michigan at Washington's interesting. Just knowing Big Ten, you know, the way that we rip on Harbaugh, it's another tough road game. Michigan traditionally struggles on the road.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten traditionally struggles on the West Coast. So, I mean, that's one that I don't know why they scheduled that one. Why don't these teams schedule just the opener? You should schedule somebody you're going to beat.
But now it has to be, we need a big-time game. Like, it's a bowl game. That's what we need, right? That's the regular thing now?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, like I said, that September schedule is pretty good. The 12th in particular is decent. Oh, another game on the 12th I forgot about, Oklahoma-Tennessee. Tennessee's got a lot of momentum right now. You know, so the Tigers out here saying they're back. The top 10 recruiting class. They go down to Norman, where Oklahoma's going to be breaking in another quarterback. All of those things sound like that being a pretty good game. You know, and it's all nice distractions from what you and I have talked about this at length in the past, and I think it's bared itself out again where, you know, I sound like Debbie Downer here, but,
what?
You know, there's only five teams that can win it, Mark. There's only five. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, LSU, and Georgia. And LSU and Georgia replace a lot. So I might even be telling you there's only three that can win it next year.
Well, the thing with LSU was it felt like it was a breath of fresh air this past fall where, hey, someone else could try to win this thing. Is that how you felt as well with their run?
I felt a lot about, like, LSU, how I felt about Auburn in 2010 in this sense that, yeah, it felt cool that somebody else won it, but if you think about it in reverse from an almost pessimistic point of view, think about it this way. Joe Burrow had arguably the greatest season ever for a quarterback, ever. You know, 60 touchdowns, all those superlatives. We have, like, an article about it with, like, 15 different records on it. They needed to do all of that to beat Alabama and Tuscaloosa by 5 points with a quarterback on one leg. I mean, that's how powerful it is. And then they beat Clemson good, but Clemson also, I would make the argument that Ohio State, I still feel like, and I'm based in Columbus, so I hear this all the time. Ohio State missed an opportunity. That was probably their best team in 25 years, talent-wise. And they missed out on a national championship this year.
But they lost. What are you going to do?
They did. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They lost the game. They had a chance to close it. You can blame the refs or whatever. But I'm just saying they were. And then LSU had a team. Now, why I drew the Auburn comparison is I think they're going to spend the next decade trying to replicate that. And it's not going to be easy. It's like Auburn's tried to replicate Cam Newton for a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And Cam Newton's don't just come along, right? It's a toss-up to me between Newton and Burrow, who had the better 1 year, right? I think Newton's was awesome, and we saw him do so many things. But, I mean, with Joe Burrow, it was – their offense was a cheat code. He threw 60 touchdowns, or he totaled 60 touchdowns. It was absurd.
It was. He destroyed Oklahoma. I mean, just annihilated them in that football game. Where does Ed Orgeron go from here then?
You know, I mean, he's got some security. You're in an exclusive club when the only people at their current school with natties are Dabo, Saban, and you. I mean, that's pretty exclusive. And then the other guys with natties overall are Jimbo, Mac Brown, and Les Miles. I mean, that's a, of the active coaches, that's a pretty exclusive club. So I think Ed O, you know, they've got to rebuild that coaching staff. He loses two key coordinators. They lost a ton to the NFL draft. Looks like double-digit guys in the underclassmen. So what we're going to figure out about LSU is, can they do what Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State do? And that's, they absorb losses. Ohio State lost J.K. Dobbins, Chase Young, and Jeff Okuda. Those are all first-team All-Americans. And I don't think anything differently of them because of the guys they have coming in behind them.
I agree with you. What about Georgia then, Bill Bender, the Sporting News? From the standpoint, it's like, oh, well, they didn't win the conference. They didn't get to the playoffs. They have another top five recruiting class. Where are they going exactly?
I mean, they're not going anywhere, but I, you know, for them, it's a little bit of a different battle. It's psychological at this point. It's, yeah, you just brought in a, I guess, three top five recruiting classes in a row. You recruit at the highest level. You bring in all this talent. They did lose a lot to the NFL as well, especially on the offensive line. I think three starters are gone. And then they switched the offensive coordinator. So they're going to try to do what LSU did, kind of get one. And for me, I mean, it's fitting. We were talking about Herschel earlier. I mean, that's the psychological brawl of that job. I mean, if you look at, let's talk about teams that actually should win national titles and can actually say they can win national titles institutionally. Georgia's probably on the longest drought of those schools, the Blue Bloods. I mean, they haven't won it since 80. I mean, Michigan, Nebraska, Notre Dame, Penn State, all those schools you talk about droughts, they don't extend all the way back to 1980.
What about Florida then? What about them going into the season?
I mean, they got to feel like the opportunity's there with Georgia breaking in a new quarterback, new coordinator, Florida coming back off back-to-back New Year's Day 6 bowl wins. They've got the quarterback play that they need out of Trask. Their schedule's a little more friendly next year. That's their opportunity to go win the East and get back to the SEC championship game, which they're not that far removed from. Remember, they went a couple times with McElwain, but they weren't. We knew they were going to get dusted by Alabama both times. So to me, it's twofold. It's one, can you beat Georgia? And two, what are you going to do with that if you get to the SEC championship game, or is it just going to continue to run through the SEC West champion?
I have to ask you real quick, and we're here with Bill Bender with the Sporting News, and I'll let you go. Explain to me this Mel Tucker thing to Michigan State, because I'm completely confused.
Well, I think it's a solid hire, given how messy the search got. You know, Fickell didn't want to go there. He checked the most boxes. Some of those other guys were probably good fits. It's going to be a tough transition for that program, because they've fallen behind Penn State and Michigan a little bit, let alone Ohio State, who they're nowhere near anymore. Mark did a fantastic job there, because he was able to kind of galvanize that program around a chip on its shoulder, the 2- and 3-star guys. I think Mel could probably recruit a little better than Mark, but I question, you know, how. I watched that the other night. And then
it was. You did go there, buddy. You did.
I went straight to Roadhouse when in. Yeah, of course. No, and I think back on Mel Tucker, I mean, it's just awkward. This is where we're at in 2020, where, you know, he said he wasn't going to leave. They come back with more money. And then at some point, you know, you got to look out for your family. And that's what he did. So he's going to take a little criticism for the next 72 hours. But, you know, with me, you know, the money always talks. And that's what ended up talking at Michigan State.
Didn't we have signing day last week? Like, the timing is crazy. That's what I don't get.
Well, the carousel runs like that, though. I always tell people, you think it stops, and now we got Colorado needs a coach. You know, maybe it's Eric Bieniemy. Maybe it's a Group of Five coach. I mean, this thing never stops. There's always two or three. There'll be a couple more coaching changes before the season starts after Colorado. So, I mean, that thing always spins. We like talking about hot seats, and this year's no different.
All right. Tell me what you like about Roadhouse. Come on. I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
It was on the other night. I mean, it's one of my favorite. I was telling somebody, they asked me if I watched the Oscars show the other night. I was like, no, but I did watch Roadhouse and Outsiders on AMC the other night because they went back to back on me. And it's like, man, my wife was already in bed. It's what you got to do. You got to watch those two movies. They're both good ones.
Okay. When you turned it on, what part was it at in Roadhouse?
Roadhouse was at the part where Garrett, you know, Sam Elliott had jumped in on the fight with like the three or four goons, and then Sam Elliott said some bad words, and then, you know, I'm hooked already. You know, it doesn't matter what part I jump in on, but that's where I caught that one.
See, I have many questions. First off, I don't think Dalton is eating in any scene in the movie. There are other people eating, but I think he just drinks coffee and smokes cigarettes. I could be wrong, if you think about it.
There was a good read by Mark Titus a couple years ago that talked about, like, the first 9 minutes or the first 10 minutes of Roadhouse and everything awesome about it. And if you can Google that and go read it, I encourage your listeners to do that. I was in tears laughing. And, you know, it is one of those movies that's awesomely bad, but it's full of one-liners. Again, that's much like Barry Sanders' running style. The one-liners of Roadhouse have stood the test of time.
Okay, they're in a small town in Missouri, I believe so. I forget what the town is called, but the guy from, what's his name, Wesley? My favorite line is he's originally from Chicago, where I'm from. So you can't trust any guy from Chicago. That's what you learn from the movie. So he buys up all the properties, but he just doesn't do that. He has to sell drugs out of them. He's such a terrible person, right?
Well, he told, and remember, his best quote in the whole movie is he tells them that JCPenney is coming here because of me. You ask anybody and they'll tell you. That's my favorite one-liner from Brad Wesley in the entire movie.
And there's like the Double Deuce is the only bar in town, but then they act like it's in a big city at the same time. It makes no sense. And then like the Jeff Healey band, are they just there 7 nights a week performing? Like, is this the only work they can get? That's what I'm confused on.
Sounds like you and I need to do an open podcast on this movie. I can run with that, though.
Oh, I know. Remember, then he's got to get that guy from prison who's the greatest kickboxer. And I can't even, this is a family show, because the greatest line in the whole thing is when he's grabbing Dalton and he tells what he does to dudes like him in prison. You can't even say it on the air. It's so crazy.
It is. And it's still the one that's the head scratcher, for sure.
It's crazy. And then at the end of the movie is they just shoot the guy and then that's it. All right, whatever. That's the end of the movie. That's all it is. Okay, but I'm telling you, Bill, he doesn't eat, because even that like nerdy waitress woman comes to the barn to give him coffee and donuts, and all he does is like drink the coffee and smoke cigarettes.
Hey, smoke cigarettes and yoga, and if I look like that doing that, I'll start doing it tomorrow.
Oh, I know. And when he goes to the emergency room, remember, he has all of his own medical records ready to go. Oh, man. And Sam Elliott, I think he's a vampire, because he's old there. Like, has Sam Elliott ever been young in anything?
If you think not for 25 years.
No, he's not. And remember, always be nice. This is very key. Always be nice. Bill Bender with the Sporting News. Thank you so much for your help, man. I'll see you around, all right?
Hey, no problem, Mark. Appreciate you.